I think we can all take a little bit away thinking that, you know what, we probably could have handled ourselves better. I'm good. How are you?
Mate, I am pumped. Awesome, massive announcement tonight. Massive announcement. The next edition of the A Chat With Lace Out series has been recorded, and I am pumped to tell everyone, I hope you're sitting down for this, that the next guest will be revealed at the end of the show.
You are a cruel man letting them all.
I am a very, very cruel man, but the man that I spoke to, if I had to say, he would be pretty outspoken, honest, genuine. If you follow him on Twitter, he is direct as anyone. He loves the platform, and we don't want to give too much away, but we chatted for about an hour. And let's just say that he did probably a good 70 to 80% of the talking, and a bit of a different interview, very, very direct. But loved every minute of it, and that will be going live very, very shortly in the next day or so. But I'll tell you at the end of the podcast who that person is. But more importantly, another good weekend of footy on the weekend. It was the first week of a bye split round. Hey, do you like this split round business? 3 weeks of six games?
Yeah, I do, because I especially love the weeks where Port don't play.
I know.
So it's good. When your team doesn't play football and you can just sit back and watch, it's such a good week. Such a good week.
You know what? Because you can go into work on Monday not angry, not upset. You know you haven't cost yourself 4 points and you haven't won 4 points. It's not a nothing weekend. It's a buy for the supporters as well to sit back and realise there's more to life than looking at the bottom of the ladder every week. There's more to life than saying green maggots or...
I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you, actually.
Why? Because I'm a green maggot or a bald-headed flog? Yep. Talk to me.
No, you are not, you are neither. You are a 375-game veteran for these Keilor Cougars.
That's right.
Who can sit Cairns with the best of them?
Jimmy Cairns You got to get down for a local game, mate.
Yeah.
Support your local football.
Invite me. I told you I'm a Bundoora boy, but you've got to get me across there. But I'm not going out there without you organising some free Jimmy Cairns. So
don't worry,
I've got that work.
I've got it hooked up, mate. Good old Phil behind the bar will look after us. But you're thinking of me over the weekend after was it?
I was. Sorry, I should say that. I should finish my thought. Yeah. So I was thinking about you because when Carlton won that game, which I didn't see it coming, and my tips subsequently copped a flogging as well. You must be getting nervous because that just means they are one win closer to putting Melbourne towards the bottom.
Hey, doesn't matter to me. If we get a number one draft pick this year, we're not tanking. We're just bad.
Because that's gone Adelaide.
No. If Carlton do overtake us, if they don't know where they're going to win another game. But it's exciting times, mate. It's exciting times because this is where clubs start building for the future. Trade talk suddenly starts to happen. Who's going where? Oh, it's exciting times. I tell you what, it might only be six games.
I just wanted to say I thought of you.
Well, I really do appreciate that.
Correct.
I thought of you on the weekend. You didn't play, and that was a good thing.
Nope.
That was a good thing. Hey, got a... bit of a shout out to the listeners out there. Thanks once again. We love doing this every single week. You guys are amazing. Comments and likes and sharing on the Lace Out Facebook page has been immense. So keep it up. Like I said, some more announcements coming up over the podcast tonight. But let's just sort of put it in perspective here. We're going to start with another week, and another supporter has been kicked out of the AFL. Have they just officially put the supporters second? Do they just not care about the supporters? Can we not be who we've been for over 100 and almost 120 plus years of this game? Has it got to the point now that corporates are first and we just have to sit and go, yes, master?
Interesting point. Well, the AFL had released a statement, I think even the Victoria Police, about why they're, you know, paroling games and yada, yada, yada. What they said is basically, you know, we will not tolerate racism, sexism, a whole lot of things, homophobic slurs, you know, all that sort of things like that. Completely agree with that 100%. But a fan getting kicked out for just having a crack at an umpire who didn't overstep any of those boundaries at all, I mean, I don't know. I think you're probably on the right track. We're going to have to sit down there and just be a humble little crowd and give little golf claps.
Oh, it's pathetic.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's pathetic.
There's no place for having a crack at someone's sexuality and whatever, but
no.
Calling someone a green maggot.
There are limits. You know, when it comes to sex, ethnicity, gender, all that
religion.
You know, there are no go zones. But people are so stressed out in life at the moment. You can't say anything in the workplace. You can't say anything off the street. We are so bound by what's going on. We have an opportunity to go out and say something with thousands and thousands of other people and just let loose. It's almost once you walk through those doors at the stadium, it's the ability just to get what off your chest and back and just let it rip for a couple of hours and just enjoy what's in front of you. And yep. As long as you stay within those guidelines, if you say something, isn't that all part of the theater? You know, really, are the umpires just too precious?
I agree.
The umpiring is one of the reasons. And it all stems from the AFL just interfering with the game, not making clear and concise decisions. Like another example over on the weekend was, and we'll go into it shortly, about Jeremy Howe's mark. How awesome was that? Yet 99 out of 100 people said, brilliant. And then you get one person being in the AFL saying, no, they got that decision right. They're just taking another one of the highlights out of the game and throwing it in the turf, throwing it in the bin and going, you know what? We don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. And we got players shits me, mate. It drives me freaking bonkers. It drives me bonkers. Because I tell you what, 6 weeks ago when I was in Melbourne, kicked 7 goals in a row against Essendon, I had the shirt off. That was pretty offensive to anyone who saw it. And the security guard laughed. Now, if that was last week, I would have been hung, drawn, and quartered. It's gone.
The AFL are a bit cooked at the moment.
Mate, they are ruining the game. You listen to talkback at the moment. You listen to talkback on any station when it talks about footy. What majority of the calls start like this? I love the game, but I've followed this great game for X amount of years, but what is the AFL doing? I can't watch this anymore. There doesn't seem to be much positivity. It's all about what's going wrong. People don't know the rules. You go back to last year's AFL grand final, that last play of the day when Rioli sort of had a bit of a block against Maynard, I think, on the wing, and Sheed came in and took that mark.
Mm.
One side of the coin will say, yes, it was a shepherd. And the other side of the coin will say, no, it's a free mark. When both decisions are right and both decisions are wrong, you know that there's something tragically wrong with our game. And I think this is just another one of those byproducts with all the bullcrap decisions that are being made changing the game. It hasn't made it better at all. And people are getting frustrated and venting, and it's starting to bite harder than it ever has.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I do think that there is a growing interest now in probably people our age, perhaps, who are probably going to start to turn away to the VFL and local footy leagues because it's a more authentic product.
Oh, it's authentic. You can say whatever you want, once again, within the guidelines, and sometimes it's out of those guidelines. And I'll tell you what, it's self-regulated. It is self-regulated. If you say something, there will be people in the crowd. We'll pull it up. But yeah, it's. I just think that the supporters these days are all under the guidance of, you know, Jill McGill. And there's nothing that they really can do about it. Clubs can't do anything about it either.
Well, that guy, the guy who got a warning who got kicked out of the game, the Richmond Cheer Squad guy, he got a warning, though he didn't breach any of those things. He called the umpire a green maggot, a bald-headed green maggot, and he actually got a warning. Now, this afternoon on SEN, they were deciding, why do you get a warning for if he hasn't broken any rules? Why is he getting told off if he hasn't broken any rules? And I think that's the crux of it. The AFL is 1 minute saying it's all okay, no problems, play on. Next minute, you're getting a warning even though you've done nothing wrong. Okay, there's just no consistency in what they're trying to sell.
You know what it reminds me of? One of my favorite films. Have you seen Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell? And right at the end of the film, he has a fall. He's on the court and they're like, you know, wake up. He has a dream sequence. And his mum teaches him the alley-oop. And he does the alley-oop for the first time ever. And the ref goes, no, it doesn't count. He's like, well, why not? He goes, because you can't do that. He goes, well did I foul anyone? No. Did I travel? No. Did I goaltend? No. So what's wrong with it? Nothing. But so it's got to be 2 points? Yeah. And it's a little bit like that because nothing makes sense and they're giving warnings out for the sake of warnings, but they haven't done anything wrong. So which one is it? Have I done something wrong or have I not? You can't half-ass this. It's getting beyond the joke. It is getting beyond the joke. And you know the worst thing is, mate, I've got better things to talk about every week. We've got about 45 minutes to pump this baby out. And once again, we're spending the first 10 or so minutes talking about what the AFL have stuffed up again.
All right, well, let's move it on then.
We will, because I'm sick of talking about it. So let's talk about something that hasn't got much attention this week. So the Adam Goods doco's come out. The Adam Goods doco's come out. I think it's called Final Quarter, I think it's called. And apparently it's raised a lot of questions, a lot of issues, very, very thought-provoking. Apparently the AFL's come out and apologised on behalf of all of the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have a bit of a look. And I sort of take a seat back and I'm being a neutral observer to everything that's been going on. At the time, it seemed to be all about racism.
Mm-hmm.
But was it? And is it still, or is it people just don't like him?
Yeah, you and I kind of disagree on this.
Yeah, we do, and that's but, what we're here. That's not all sunshine and lollipops, mate. We want to have these discussions, and I respect your opinion. You respect mine.
Absolutely. It's really, I think you could easily say it was because it's easy to fall in the trap of saying because he played for free kicks or we don't like him because we just don't like the fella because of all these particular things. He's a grubby player, whatever you want to say. But I mean, when we all look back at it, I think we can all take a little bit away thinking that, you know what, we could have handled ourselves better as a society with that situation, because I don't think any player, black, white, whatever color would they be, whatever sexual orientation, whatever, probably deserved to be treated like that across his final season. And I know, you know, we may not have had, you know, racist intentions or whatever like that, but it definitely makes you reflect on that current climate when he was playing football in that final season. I don't know. I haven't seen a documentary. I'm absolutely screaming to get my hands on a copy to have a watch because I'm just dead keen to watch it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that one? Because I know you go, I don't care about booing. You can boo who you want to boo. That's been your stance, yeah?
Yeah. My stance on it is, look, there's no doubt there was an element to it. Okay.
Absolutely.
But people get booed all the time in various sports. And when you play the race, when the race, that word racism is a really is a really powerful word that's being used. In relation to work. And the thing that sort of put me in a bit of a, well, there's been a lot of Aboriginal footballers. And look, let's be honest, we're not going to go back into the old, Victoria Park days, Moorabbin days, the Nicky Wimmer pulling up the jumper and checking out my black skin, those sort of days. We're not going near that. But, you look at some of the players that are rolling around at the moment. You've got Neville Jeddah. You've got Willy Rioli, Flying Ryan, Stephen May.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Bart. You've got a lot of brilliant Indigenous players. And none of them get booed. None of them get booed. So there has to be another element towards it. Eddie Betts is also another one. Eddie Betts is, I'd walk through the door to see Eddie Betts play. Jeff Farmer, gun.
Yeah.
All these amazing Aboriginal footballers that people love to go and watch. Yet why was this particular person singled out? There's got to be. Now, did it start with pointing out the person in the crowd, the young girl at the time? Was it the whole spear gesture that he did during Indigenous round? Was it some of his tactics, which I didn't watch as many Adam Goods games over the years as some other people have, but some of his tactics going into packs, etc., were a little bit questionable. I just think that to use that whole racism card as the single most damaging reason for him to be treated like that doesn't marry up with me when there's so many other Indigenous players in the league who do not get the same treatment.
Yeah.
On top of that, though, you will get some dickheads in the crowd who just do it for the sake of doing it because they're sheep and they'll do what the shepherd says because they just are dickheads. All right? You got to back that. Unfortunately, we can't do anything about that. But it was I'm fascinated to watch this documentary as well too, just to sort of see because it doesn't paint Eddie Maguire in a great light apparently, Sam Newman in a great light, the AFL in a great light.
Yeah.
But once again, it's a documentary, and if you're planning a documentary and you want it to slant in a certain way, you could most definitely achieve it.
Absolutely. I the key thing I think around this for me, on reflection of all of it, is probably the fact that, we didn't stand up for a player at all. And that's across all supporters and the leagues and the AFL and everyone who's involved with football. Probably should have just stood by their mate and actually stepped away and thought, how would I like to be booed by 60,000 supporters week in, week out, every time I went near the ball or every time my face was up on the screen or whatever. And I think that's probably the failure is we didn't protect a player.
Yeah. And that's the part, That's the part I agree with. The club should have come out and said, not just on him, but hey, just cut it out. They just cut it out. It happened on the weekend. I don't know if you saw the most recent game in the, well, there was two circumstances, a game 5 of the playoffs. Kevin Durant snapped his Achilles tendon. I don't know if you can see that, but he's popped his Achilles out of the back of his
head.
He's, there was booing at one stage, and then the Toronto Raptors players have actually said, no, just cut this out, can you? Cut this out. And then it completely turned where they were actually sad to see this guy go down. And also when Australia played India on the weekend, Smith and Warner, as we knew, they were going to get booed by the crowd. And the most hated person you could say on that team is Virat Kohli. And he's even gone to his own supporters and say, hey, enough's enough. All right. Yep. So there's examples where you go, okay, you know what? That's leadership right there in both those circumstances. There was no leadership from the AFL when it came to this at all. And there's still no leadership coming from the AFL. And if you have a look over the course of the last 12 to 24 months, absolutely no leadership. They just talk complete shit. And they don't come out and address situations whatsoever when they need to be. Now, when was the last time we heard from Lachlan say they made a mistake? They won't do it.
Yeah.
Sorry, no one's perfect.
Yeah. I think, the AFL tried to come out and in the documentary, I think that they referred to it. The AFL tried to come out and say about the stop booing of Adam Goods, but that just fuels fuels that fire at that particular time in football, which is just a weird one. But, you know, I hope everyone gets a chance to watch it, and I do hope they get to reflect on their own thoughts of Adam Goods during that final year.
Yeah, I'm happy to be. It's not proven wrong. I would just like to see it from his position and maybe empathetic to the whole situation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. All right.
It's one of those things that I think we agree to disagree, but we agree that there's greater things in play when you talk about that.
Correct.
But yeah, it's pretty exciting. Hey, look, another massive game on Monday was the Queen's Birthday, traditional Melbourne Collingwood game. Once again, Melbourne kicked themselves out of it. Collingwood played some great football, but the one thing I really wanted to highlight was if this guy does not get a nomination, at least for Australian of the Year, or at least an Order of Australia, or anything along those lines, being Neil Danaher for the work he's doing against Fight MND, I don't know what you need to do, because he is amazing. What he's done over five years, raised over $24 million in that particular time frame, when all they wanted to raise when they first did it was $100,000. It's extraordinary. I don't know if you saw any of the shots of the game on the weekend. There was just a sea of blue beanies.
Yeah. Even on the Queen's birthday, I went to Bunnings to get some stuff to fix the house up a little bit. And there were people in there, just tradies and general people, wearing the MND beanies.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely fantastic.
You know, it's winter. You need a beanie. You might as well put your money towards something. Stuff your Stussy beanies or your Rip Curl beanies or your Wobbies World beanies. There's $60 for some fluff. Pick up a Fight MND and look good, feel good, and know you're doing something that's going to make a difference to people. We've got to slay the beast. 180,000 beanies were sold.
Sold out again.
Sold out, and the demand was still there.
Yeah, well, it's amazing.
It is just amazing. And if I put a link up to the video last week on the Lace Out Facebook page, showing his speech to the Melbourne players. If that doesn't put things in perspective for you right now, if you put that and what we just spoke about with, if that doesn't put life in perspective for you, nothing ever will, mate. Nothing ever will. You just don't realize how good you've got something until your kids are sick, or your wife's sick, or you know, your best mate's gone down. We worry about the pettiest little issues that, oh my God, I forgot the Wi-Fi password. When there's a guy here doing everything possible, knowing that he hasn't got much time left on this great world of ours, to try and make a difference in the world. Now that in my eyes, that's a real hero. And that is
absolutely.
But it was just awesome. And some of the crowd shots you've seen, it's just a sea of blue. And you know, they get the sliders. How good was it to see Cyril? Cyril, has he been on the been on the turtle meat or what? Has he been
Cyril? He's so good. I just love the casual tour. It's just so Cyril. It's just like I just grabbed that out of my wardrobe. That's what I had.
Yeah, I actually thought he was. I thought he was a road worker. I thought he was just like, you know, I'm a road worker. That's what I'm doing now. That's all I'm doing. But it was just brilliant to see that all the sliders go down.
Who was your best on? Did you have a best on?
There's only one man and one man only. Nick Riewoldt. I had to look twice.
I agree.
If anyone goes and dyes their hair for something like that, just give him kudos. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. You know what I also loved? Sorry.
Yeah.
I also love Jeremy Howe's mark. The thing hanger on Tommy Mack. Tommy Mack has a habit of being Jeremy Howe's stepladder on Queen's Birthday games. That's a second year in a row. He's like, he must give him a call during the week and go, hey, we're going to split another car this year? Because he did it to him last year.
Well, this year, Peps, no car.
What?
No car at all.
Why? It was
not a mark.
What do you mean it wasn't a mark? It wasn't. How could it not be a mark?
AFL said it's not a mark.
What?
Otherwise it's not a mark.
What do you mean? That was a mark.
Not a mark.
But he...
No car.
He jumped up and took the mark. But what did he
Peps,
do wrong?
No car. No car. No car, Peps. No car here. No car.
But he took a mark. Oh, no, how crap was it, eh?
Peps, he...
Calm down. Like, just ruin the game.
This is a quick one, yeah?
This is quick.
This is a quick one. It was a mark. Move on.
It was a mark. Move on. And then I think the AFL have come out and said the right decision was made. Common sense.
Nothing.
Do you reckon that's not in their KPIs? You know, rip the supporter for as much money as we possibly can. Introduce 64 new rules into the season. 64 rules that nobody likes. And take away a highlight of the game. Bang.
So, Peps. Yep. Peps, if that happens this week,
yep,
a player jumps into the back of a player and pushes off.
Yep.
That has to be a no mark. Has to be a free kick against.
It has to be. Just come out and say, you know what? We got that wrong. We got it wrong.
Yeah.
What was the danger in what he did? There's more danger in driving your knee into somebody's back than football boots. They stuffed up when they should have got rid of Toby Green. Well, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. You've got it wrong.
I've got nothing to say about Jeremy.
Got it wrong. He's a human highlight reel. He is a human highlight reel. Must bring back memories for you watching that sort of stuff.
Well, I'm just thinking for you, like, didn't he play for Melbourne?
Yeah, he did. He did. He played for Melbourne and left because Collingwood was his childhood team and he wanted to play in the forward line and ended up moving into the same position he did. But you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. But, when you saw Jeremy Howe take that mark, you would have reminisced all those years of football that you played, being in Tom McDonald's position as people took speckies on the back of your head. Your nickname is Bailey.
I told you I got banned from the league.
Wasn't your nickname Bailey's?
Why?
The number one step ladder in football. Hey, listen, it was potentially the best game by a single player played on the weekend. By the big
one. Referring to?
Oh, the big 190 plus centimetre beast that roams the Carlton midfield with a number 9 on his back. Patrick Cripps. Oh. Did you see that? You didn't watch much of that game?
No, I did because I thought it was over. And then I'm like, whoa, we're coming back here. But what a difference a week makes. Last week, Pete Cripps, broken, destroyed, crushed as a person, can't carry this team, whatever other headline you want to write. This week, how good is he? He's a legend of a game.
Oh, mate.
Amazing. What an amazing turnaround.
He was brutal. Like, he destroyed. Now, I don't know what happened to Brisbane. The queue almost went in the rack. That's what I actually think it is. But Carlton played with the freedom. Why is it when teams get a new coach, is it almost like, hey, guys, you know what? Do what you want. Just go out and have a good time, regardless of the result. There were six goals. Mate, they were six goals down. They were six goals down. And they've turned that around.
I just think they just probably a bit of both. I think probably Brisbane probably took their foot off the accelerator a bit. And, you know, you've played in how many games now? You know, 370 plus games.
Yeah.
You know that once a team gets a sniff and they get that momentum of a couple of goals in a row, it's really hard to stop. But and Carlton, I think that's what happened.
I didn't even know Carlton had noses for the first X amount of rounds. They couldn't sniff anything. They couldn't even get a scent of a win. Their Cripps is coming out. Can I just go through his... This was his stats, right? He had 38, 18 kicks, 12 handballs, 7 marks. He had 4 frees, 4. He's had 2 tackles. Bit lazy, in my opinion. He's kicked 4. He had 151 fantasy points. I reckon he's just dominated. And then the bloke who's come in at second, 32 disposals, 23 kicks, 9 marks, 4 frees, 4 tackles, no goals, Sam Walsh.
Yeah.
Look at those. And it was just, you watch it and you just think, this guy's special. And he's Carlton's he's Carlton's captain and they've done that at the right time. Good on him. Just good on him. It was just a great game to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, well, when you could watch and it, Eddie had had this stupid roof open again. Fucking hell. They got no idea. Well, who owns Eddie had? Oh, Marvel, sorry. Who owns that? That'd be the AFL. Tick. Another complete fudge up that they've done. They can't even shut the roof. Do you reckon Gil drives around with the sunroof half open, half closed during the day? Just for the sake of having the roof open? probably drives around in that mustard jacket that he wore to the polo all those years ago.
Just close the roof, Gil.
Just close the roof. But yeah, they were amazing. And it was a really good win. It wasn't just a luck win. They came back from so far back. It was great to see.
No, yeah. I smashed them.
Yeah, smashed them. What's on your agenda besides what we've already gone through really quickly this evening?
No, it's been good. I'm just trying to think. Do you want to just do a quick drive by of the games? Just a one liner.
Yeah, let's just do a quick. Let's just do a bit of Katy Perry, who was hot and cold. So if we go back over the week, all right. Well, he's a perfect one. No rants, no Richmond. That's getting bigger and bigger every week, isn't it? They've gone out and beaten by 64, almost 11 goals against the Cats, sitting three games clear on the top of the AFL ladder.
Geelong are the Rolls Royce right now.
How did they get better?
They got it all.
But how did they get better?
They
picked up two players, Gary Rowan and Dalhouse. Theoretically, that's all they picked up.
Two players who were at the end of their careers.
But they're just doing what they need to do. Ablett's had a better season.
Much.
Tim Kelly, top three players in the league, no doubt about it at the moment. Tom Hawkins, he's in a rare patch. They're just doing everything right. My only concern, getting a little bit cliche, premierships are not won in June.
No, but three-game lead on top of the ladder helps, though.
Well, that definitely helps. So, they've got the luxury to rest people, especially down at home. Good luck there. Richmond, they're just...
All right, next game.
Poo. Richmond are poo.
Yep, Richmond are crap. Next game.
We've already spoken about this one, Carlton and the Lions, 78-63. Great comeback. Next one, the resurgence of the new coach, part two, has happened. Part deux is North Melbourne again having another win, two in a row for Mr. Shaw. A lovely 27-point win against the Suns. Hey, the Suns, hell of a lot better than they were last year. So Stewie Jew's got them tracking in the right direction. The only thing I just don't want to see is players leaving. They've got to somehow make a destination club. I didn't see this one coming at all. Adelaide over GWS. Did not see that on the horizon whatsoever. What is it about Adelaide? You're the Adelaide porter. What is it about Adelaide at the moment if there was a radar, would they be flying under it, or are people starting to take a bit of notice about them?
No, I think they're definitely flying under the radar. I think their slow start to the season has probably kept them still under there. This win here is probably a bit more surprising than some of the other wins they've had, but I still don't think they're top four. I think they're still a bit up and down, and they will just miss the eighth this year.
But who's going to go in?
No, they'll make the eight.
It's not about not making the eight. It's like who's going to go in. The only one that I can see making it out of that who could switch is Fremantle. They're the only team. It won't be Essendon because they're a game behind. They're on the same games as you. So Frio, Port on six wins. Richmond, Brisbane, Adelaide on seven. You'd say it'd be out of those five teams that four are going to make it. Hawthorn aren't going to do it. North aren't going to do it. St Kilda aren't going to do it. And then anyone else after that is Cactus.
Yes, I still reckon everyone from down to 13 is basically still in the game.
Okay, who is St Kilda going to knock out?
I reckon St Kilda not. Well, they're only one game out of the eight at the moment.
You're starting to talk a bit of furphy right here, my friend. Because their percentage isn't that crazy.
Well, they're only one game out.
Mate, St Kilda are one game out and 25%. Here's how many games there. Good luck with trying to pull that back. North and that are too
far. All I'm saying is it's not over just yet.
Yeah. Look, the only way that St Kilda and North are going to get their percentage back is if either of those teams play Port or Melbourne again. And they both play Melbourne again. So there's a couple of percentage boosters right there. I'm still sticking by the fact that Melbourne will end up two games outside the final eight by the end of the year. If they can learn to
get that's looking more and more likely.
Yep. But look, the only teams I can't see Brisbane falling out. And if they do, it's just because they've run out of legs. The only ones I don't want to say, if they keep playing the way that they're playing, because they've lost two on the trot, Richmond.
Yeah, they're in that glut.
And the next one's Richmond, and the next one's Adelaide.
Yep.
Yeah, there is a glut.
Yep.
But that glut's going to thin out pretty quickly, I think.
And Port play Adelaide this week. Port play Fremantle this week. So there's a direct clash there, 8-9, and you've got Brisbane and Richmond. So there's a few games coming up which are interesting.
As I would say, there's a couple of 8-point games right there.
There is a couple of 8-point games.
A couple of 8-point games there. All right. So, another one. I didn't see coming because I don't know where their forms come from, but Sydney over West Coast. Was that more of an indictment on the way that Sydney are playing or what happened with West Coast? That was a tough one to
read. Just one word. One word, buddy. That's all made the difference.
Oh. Did you see a shot after the siren? Was that just take the piss? If you get a chance to see the highlights of that goal, have a look at the footage of John Longmire in the box and the rest of them. They're all just leaning down, almost riding the kick as it was going through. And then as he's kicked it, Longmire's just shaking his head as if to go, goal. Just goal.
This, look, all coaches, everyone who's ever watched Buddy is a fan of Buddy. They're a fan first, and then under that, he can be your player or the coach or whatever you want to do. But everyone is a fan of Buddy.
I really hope that he goes around again next year. And the only reason why is I really would love to see him kick 1,000. Because he's on 900 and I think it was 936 to 940. So he's still 60 goals off. Yep. He's not going to kick another 60 for the rest of the year. Let's just say he kicks maybe 30. He's going to have to go.
Another 30.
Yeah, and I'd just love to see him go and do that. That would be kick 1,000. Everybody can run another field. I want 1,000 people run. I want everybody to run on for his 1,000th.
That'd well, 1,000 goals in this day and age is freaking amazing.
Take a photo because that will last longer because no one else will do it. Don't worry, you'll never see another 100 goal kicker again and you'll never see another player kick 1,000 because of the structure.
Not in the current way, yeah.
No.
Yep.
And also the fact that players can't kick goals. That's another thing. As we witnessed on Monday with the Ds going down by 41 points to Collingwood, who... They just seem to be doing everything that they need to. They didn't play great football, but they just played enough football to get across the line. Melbourne kicked themselves out of it again, especially fourth quarter stuff. They had 85% of the play up their end of the ground and just couldn't slot it through. But I will say one thing that did bring a smile to my face was seeing Jake Lever and Stephen May come back and both played really well, especially May. So I just hope, you still got Jetta to come back. Marty Hall's still down there. Once they get there, once they get a bit of momentum together, they just need to go. But yeah, Collingwood just too good. It was once again Degoe, Stevenson. They're kicking their little bags of three. Isn't that a bag of three? That's a bag these days, isn't it? It's just they're just doing everything that they need to. All they need to do is get that top two spot, and anything can happen. Grand Final day, as we saw last year. I've got some news for you too as well. The kitchen's been closed this week.
It's closed.
Yeah, the kitchen's been closed. No fry pan.
Cool.
We had to give. Okay. Yeah, it's the bye week, so the fry pan and the kitchen have had shut down just for a bit of remodeling, but we'll be back next week. Listener questions, anything come through on the page or on the personal chat from our listeners this week, our social media guru yourself?
Nothing on the socials this week at all. No, nothing.
I will actually say one thing. Since the announcement of earlier today that, and I'm going to announce who the next special guest in the Chat With series in just a moment, but some of the names that have been thrown around, I did post up the latest interview in Lace Out's A Chat With series has been completed. Saints Legend coming your way soon. The Love Machine, or otherwise known as Morton Meets the Eye, came up with Jamie Shanahan. That's incorrect. Lee Moss, a close friend of mine living on the other side of the country, has come up with Lazar Vidovic. It's not him. Would you like me to announce it now, who it's going to be?
Is it Warwick Kappa?
It's definitely not the Wiz, but he's definitely one I want to have a chat with. But
He is the, what's the word, like the god, the deity of our podcast? What's that word?
He's the grand poobah.
The person we look up to.
Yoda.
He's the person Yoda. That our podcast looks
up. He's the matriarch, if he was female. If we think of our wives and took that away and put Kappa in there, that would be the equivalent. That's how high in regard. We would love to have the Wiz on. So if anyone can make it happen, let us know. We want the Wiz. Hashtag, we want the Wiz. But just to let you know, this gentleman was St Kilda's coach for a number of seasons in the early to mid-2000s. Last game coached against the Ds in the 2006 elimination final. Very, very outspoken. If you get on his Twitter handle, you never left a day where nothing's covered. Brutal honesty. And I had the opportunity earlier this week to have a chat to Mr. Grant Thomas. And we had a chat for close to an hour. And that will be up as a special episode in the Chat With series later this week. So a little bit different to what we've normally done. We did it over the phone. This one, very, very quiet, very, very reserved. But just his opinion on the AFL, the gambling side of things. He talks a lot about Stephen Milne, talks about Lenny Hayes, he talks about the elimination final, just lots of little, the love he has for his family and how special they were. Because I didn't know if you know, he's got 8 kids. And you know how busy we think it is trying to survive day in, day out in the pressure of what we do with 2 kids and 1 child respectively. He did it with 8. So he goes into how amazing he was with his family, but just the passion. He's got such a passion for the game, and he goes into a little bit about how he got left out of, you know, with Footy Classified and also with SEN, a couple of bits and pieces. Also with the podcast that's no longer with Sam and Mike Sheens. A really, really good listen. Once again, plenty of great things to say, and that'll be up in the next couple of days. So I'll put a link up to it on the Lace Out Facebook page. Give it a listen, give it a share. Because you guys keep asking for them and we're happy to keep doing them. Simple as that. So Grant Thomas, everybody.
Love it.
He had a chat.
Love it.
Me. Yep, we do. Really, really good. So I think that's about it, my friend. Oh, last thing, the footy tipping. I'm just going to put it this way. Jamie's in front again by 4 over me. and then the other 2. So it's just basically me and Jamie now. That's it. So the loser basically has to take the other one out for dinner. And so it looks like we're off to Smorgies.
There's no Smorgies over where you are. I tell you what, I will settle. If you want to, now I'm going to say it here with the voice because I am the voiceover guy. If you want to cash out.
No, I'm not cashing out. No, nah, there's no cash outs, mate.
If you want to cash out.
No. Nah.
I'll happily take a weekend on you at the footy.
No way, mate. No way. We're going to have to go to another game. I'll take you for a day down at East Keeler, mate. We'll have an absolute ball. But, hey, that's it. We're done for another week of the greatest podcast that no one listens to, Lace Out. We love it. J-Dog, any final thoughts before we wrap up and get back on with life?
No, I'm looking forward to whoever play this week in this amazing bye series we have.
Yeah, I reckon Melbourne have a chance this week. They've got the bye. And somehow they'll
Good.
Have something to screw it up, I guarantee it. But so that's it, listeners. Remember, give us a like, give us a share, tell everybody about us. The more people that listen, the more reason we like doing this. More importantly, apologies for not going live as we promised last week. My son had to go in the hospital. So unfortunately, there was just a bit of a shoe was thrown into the mix and just we weren't able to get it up and running. So that's why we were a day late. But we'll get that up. And as soon as we do, we'll let everybody know when and where and how. But more importantly, Jamie Wallace, thank you for your awesomeness as always. I'm Chris Pepper. Jamie, you know what I'm going to ask. So just give the two words.
Lace out.
Oh, I thought it was sexy times. But yeah, that's how he likes his football. I like my football that way. I'm Chris Pepper. Over to the J-Dog. Go D's. Have a great week, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye.